outreach and our presence at the Pride Festival. Are there other announcements today? Glenn.
Last Thursday, a rally was held at the State House, trying to get the rule out of the work. He pushed off, it was supposed to begin the 30th of June, trying to get that pushed off for a year and provide funds for rent and food for 3,000 families with nearly 5,000 children. Otherwise, these folks are going to be on the street, they're going to be homeless. And I have names and numbers of folks that you can call to try to get legislators to push them closer off for 1 year.
Okay. So, Glenn's talking about something called Rhode Island Works. If you're interested in an action opportunity, a way to try and build up a safety net underneath some folks who are in danger of going into even harder circumstances, please talk to Glenn afterwards. He has information of folks you can call and a way you can get involved. Other announcements today? Keith. Great. So if you're interested in a conversation about immigration and activism around that, please see Keith Cooper. He's got a Presbyterian position paper, something saying something about what our church has said in the past. And there's going to be a discussion, a three-part discussion, in Tuesdays through June, 7 o'clock in the evening here at the Hope Room. And Keith and Gladys and some other folks are going to be leading that. So if you're interested in that, please see Keith Cooper today. Any other announcements? We start. Hear the words of the psalmist who writes, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture, the flock under his care. Come, let us worship God together." The proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy upon mercy and find grace in our time of need. Let us enter into a time of confession, first in silence, and then using the prayer printed in our bulletin, confessing to God together. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer. Gracious God, we acknowledge once again that we fall short of our high calling as your people. If we have wished someone well while withholding help and support we should have given, forgive us, O God. If we have loudly proclaimed our faith but then refused to follow Christ, forgive us, O God. Through the power of your Spirit, make us persons of courage, compassion, and integrity. Through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please remain seated in a spirit of confession as we sing together number 2025, As the Deer. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. You can bet your life on it. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Make Thank you, choir. This is the time in our service when we share joys and concerns with the community, and we have several to bring to your attention this morning as we celebrate communion, as we celebrate the ordination and installation of the officers. First of all, we'd like to announce, if you haven't read your bulletin closely this morning, that Rob and Eustacia, living in Pennsylvania now, have given birth to a new son, Colby Williams. 9 pounds, 10 ounces. The pictures are on the bulletin board at the PTC event bulletin board. We also would like to announce that Nancy Collins, after her discernment period with her son Charles, has formally accepted the position as regional liaison in East Africa and will be leaving in October to serve and continue to serve as a Presbyterian missionary in that capacity. Charles will be staying in Oklahoma with his aunt and uncle, so they covet your continued prayers, but feel very good about the decision all around. We would also like your prayers this morning for a colleague of Lisa Watermolder, who died very suddenly this week, and leaves a young daughter and a wife, and his name is Greg Cross, and his family and his mother. And we would also like your prayers for Terry Olympicio, who had a seizure and fell this week. So please keep Deacon Terry in your prayers this morning, and Nicholas as well, if they were still. Are there other joys and concerns in the community?
This afternoon, I will be going to Stanford, Connecticut for the ordination of Bill Parker. This is a preparatory event, and we'd like to give prayer for her to go forward in this ministry.
Prayers for Adele Parker's ordination this afternoon.
Others? I would like to ask for prayers for the families that's going to be traveling a long distance for my graduation this Thursday, and I would just like prayers for this week that it goes smoothly and I get through it.
We pray that too, Nalone. For Nalone's graduation on Thursday and all the family traveling this week. Others?
We'd like also prayers for our Eastside clergy colleague, Claire Fisher Davies, and her husband, Jerry. Jerry had battled cancer a couple of years ago, and the cancer has returned and spread, and they are moving forward with some pretty aggressive treatment. But if you could keep Claire and Jerry in your prayers, as well as their two children who are graduating from high school this week.
Let's be in a time of prayer together. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy God, we come into your presence this day because you have created the world, you have redeemed it, and you have sustained it by your power. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the creation which we see bursting into new life and a new season all around us. We give you thanks for the redemption of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what it means in each of our lives, what it means for our common life together, and what it means for your world. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the sustaining power that you give us by your Holy Spirit, a Spirit that does not leave us as orphans, but as a counselor in perplexity, that is a companion along our journey. We come in humility and trust, O Lord, knowing that we are not worthy to be in your presence, and yet remembering how you came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, how you came into our lives such as they are, how you showed love deeper and wider than we had ever known. We give you thanks this day. O Lord, we pray for the seasons in the life of your church, especially this day as we come to ordain and install elders and deacons into the offices and leadership of this church. We pray for the ministry, especially of these new deacons coming on, the ways that they will share your care and comfort, the ways that they will extend the good word of what you are doing in the world into the lives of each of us within this wall, these walls, and to so many outside. We pray this day as well for the ordination of Adele Crawford and action of our presbytery, one more sign of the new life and ministry that you have for your people. Oh God, we do give you thanks this day for new life, especially celebrating with Eustacia and Rob at the birth of their son Colby William. We pray that his life will be in your hands, that he will learn to follow you step by step from this early stage. God, we give you thanks for Nancy Collins and her new opportunity, this new missionary position in East Africa that she will undertake. Pray that you would bless her, send her off to do your will and be filled with your spirit. We pray for her family, especially son Charles left behind. You might encourage him and find ways to connect them even across the miles. We pray, O Lord, for with great joy for the upcoming graduation of Nalone Gebe, for all of her family coming to celebrate with her, even from long distances. Keep them safe, we pray. We give you thanks once again for your sustaining love and power in the life of Nalone, the way that she has been blessed by this congregation and how she has been a blessing to us. Lord, this week we remember the sacrifice of so many veterans as we commemorate the D-Day invasion of long ago, a day that fades into memory but stays strong with those who lived it. We give you thanks for those who sacrificed so much that we might live in peace, and for all who work for peace in the world, a world that is broken by sin and evil and trouble abounding. God, we pray this week, remembering George Tiller, a doctor who was murdered in cold blood. We pray that justice would be done. We pray comfort for his family and those who knew him. We pray for our country as we continue to find ways to live together, to bring violence to an end, to let love be our rule. Oh God, we pray this day for all who were on Air France Flight 44, those who were lost over the sea, their families in Brazil and France and across the world. We lift prayers to you, O God, that you would see them safely home into an eternal rest with you. We pray as well, O Lord, for Greg Ross, Lisa's co-worker who died suddenly this week. Pray for his young wife and child at home. May they have faithful communities and families around them to help them through this time, and may they be filled with your spirit, the knowledge of your love. We pray for all who are in our hearts, those who are mourning this day. We mourn along with them, O God. We seek to show care and comfort in this darkest of hours. God, we pray for your healing hand and the ways that you bring life out of death, and new life and new possibilities out of hard situations. We pray for CJ and her continued healing. We pray for Terry after the seizure and fall that she might heal and come back to the liveliness that we have known. Pray for Claire Fisher Davies' husband, Jerry, as he battles cancer. We pray, O Lord, for all who are known to us in our lives, struggling to come back to health and wholeness. We pray your blessing upon them. And now, O Lord, with believers in every time and every place, we lift our voices together and aloud to pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Children are released at this time to go down to their classrooms. teachers are as well. Thank you.
Today's Old Testament lesson will be from Psalm 29 on page 477 in the Pew Bibles and on page 621 in the Large Print Bible. And it reads, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly being. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord, the God of glory thunders. The Lord mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and shifts the forest bare. And in his temple, all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." And today's New Testament lesson will be from Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. And on page 116 of the Pew Bibles and page 150 of the Large Print Bibles. And it reads, "Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. The 12 called together the whole community of disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should neglect the words of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word.' What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, by your Spirit alone, may the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. In Christ we pray. Amen. There are some lessons of internship that are embedded indelibly in one's memory, that even though it was nearly 30 years ago that I... not 30 years ago, but many years ago, 20 years ago that I did my internship. I remember vividly that Sunday morning in October, as I stood alongside my supervisor, Pastor Patty, to help distribute the elements and say a prayer, and we had moved through the communion liturgy smoothly and passed the bread to the whole congregation, taken the bread together, and she reached down to pick up the pottery pitcher that was used to fill the chalice before us and to pour the juice into the chalice, only to realize that she was doing so that there was no juice. When we went to open the tray to see the juice in the little cup, there was no juice in the tray. One is in the middle of the communion service. And so she said with great reverence, "Imagine the blessing." Praise be to God for deacons who take their work seriously. Our text in Acts this morning is often referred to as the origin of the diaconate, because in the very strong phrase, it is not right that we should neglect the word of God to wait on tables. The word for wait on tables is diakonia in Greek, the origin of our word for deacons. But we need to unpack this a little bit, I think, this morning. It would be more fitting to regard this passage as the early church organizing itself for mission. The origins of early church leadership, a fitting text for our ordination and installation service this day, as we recognize and set apart church leaders for specific responsibilities in the life of the church. It is an act of community which has identified, called, and elected these elders and deacons to serve on our behalf. Notice how our text today is framed as it was read by William. In verse 1, "Now during those days when the number of disciples was increasing in number," and verse 7, "the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem." Now, there are some people who believe that when Christians get organized, they become unchristian. That as we organize, we somehow quench or at least very much dilute the Spirit. Barbara Wheeler, the former president of Auburn Seminary, is absolutely right that we're not going to be able to organize ourselves into the future. We need to be Spirit-led. But I would argue with you today that the two need not be mutually exclusive, that organization can be a good thing, even a godly thing, to help spread the word of God. And I sincerely hope that they aren't mutually exclusive to living in the Spirit, because I love to organize things. The need for a diaconia arose because the widows were being neglected. Some translations say overlooked or discriminated against. And there was a need for radical hospitality and assistance to look beyond the community of faith that was resident in that Jerusalem Jewish Christian community to those new ones that were being added into the number. Because the church was moving beyond its traditional members. and the Hellenists, or the Greek-speaking Gentiles, the new converts of the church were being neglected. They were being overlooked. It is not so different in our larger church today, as economic realities have turned many a church more inward than outward, less welcoming to those who are different. It's very easy to get caught up in our own day-to-day lives and to neglect the needs that are right around us, or even buried deep within our own community. As Glenn has brought forward to us this morning, the extreme needs of those living at the poverty level for support in troubling economic times mean that we need to look outward, and we need to be recognizing the opportunities that are here for us to reach out. These days, there is a need to seek to attend those needs around us and to respond to those with tangible support and with a message of the Word of God and encouragement to bring new life. We have more than we think we have. We have more chance to look at our lives and to simplify and to pool our resources together, for the God we worship is a God of abundance. Perhaps we can even reclaim and remember a practice of the early church, a carryover from Judaism, which had a special fund to support those in need, the kupa and the tamhui. Each member of the community was required to give a set amount to the kupa, or the community chest of the community, and it was a rate set to provide people with enough food for 2 weeks, 14 meals. If there were additional needs in the community, the tamhui would be taken. And the tamhui would be the practice that would be most akin to what we're talking about here in this daily distribution to the widows and to those in need. It was the practice in the Jerusalem church and in Judaism for church leaders to daily go from house to house to see what could be shared with the larger community, and then to take what was collected and distribute it that same day to the community around it. It was usually foodstuffs. And one might imagine, as the community was growing, that this practice of daily doing this could take a great deal of time. Maybe we need to get back to that practice of tamhui, because we have our pledge to the church, which we seek to maintain. But what would happen if this week you thought about something that you could share with someone in need? Perhaps it would be something tangible. Maybe it would be an item of food. Perhaps it would be time to make a phone call to advocate for someone in need, or for people we don't even know in need, as Glenn has raised for us. Perhaps it would be a time to offer a word of hope and prayer to someone that you know is going through a tough time. Maybe it would be a commitment to join in study and reflection and prayer on immigration issues these next 3 Tuesdays, or one of those next 3 Tuesdays. Maybe it would be sharing your deeply held conviction and reflections about where you think the church should be heading as we enter into a new season of leadership. Indeed, our deacons are organizing themselves today, and in a couple of weeks, all of our officers will gather together in retreat, not in hiding, but in retreat in order to advance, to draw deeper into community with one another, to rediscover and commit our gifts and passions for ministry, to celebrate the abundance of this community, and to reflect on the year and the priorities of the life of this congregation, as we too, like that early church in Acts, have been rapidly growing as we seek to move into the future. It's a time for us too to look to those parts of our community life which may have been neglected, to be re-inspired through the wonderful gift of the Pentecost Spirit to continue to live with God's purpose in sharing the Word of God in difficult days. We are in a season of Pentecost with a new Spirit blowing. This week I will be traveling to the Big Tent, a part of which is the annual Presbyterian Multicultural Church Conference. And I have received two phone calls this week from people involved with the Big Tent. And we at this church, at Providence Presbyterian Church, have been asked to share some of our experience on a panel of multicultural models in the Northeast on that last day. And what I will share with them is a vision of radical hospitality and welcome, which I see week in and week out here in this place as we seek to welcome every person that comes through this door and to get to know them. It's through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that all are welcome here. It is the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that all are welcome to this table, as together we serve God alone. So, let's get organized with purpose. And thanks be to God for the vision that we receive through the gift of the Spirit in Acts, and the vision that we seek to live as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the words of the brief statement of faith as we reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles, rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silent, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks, and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to call forward all of our new deacons who will be ordained into office today and the elders who will be installed for a second term in office. Please come forward.
And those deacons who are being installed too.
Yes. Our five new deacons come on forward. Our three elders. There are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different ways, but it's the same God who achieves God's purposes through them all. Each one is given a gift of the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together we are the body of Christ and individually members of Him. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation for the risen Christ. We work and pray to make His church useful in the world, and we call women and men of faith, so that in the end every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Within our common ministry together, some members are chosen for particular work as ministers, as elders, or as deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering that our Lord Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great must be a servant of all."
And whoever wants to be first among you must become last. Jesus, as God's Son, came to serve and not to be served, to give his life to others for free.
Do we, the members of this congregation, speaking for the people of the church, I bring Judy Babcock, Keith Cooper, and Zachary Sharp to be installed as elders. Eddie Adaman, Katie Benson, and David Spader to be ordained as deacons, and Dorothea Lusigna and Cheryl Mason to be installed as deacons.
Zach, Judy, Keith, David, Eddie, Katie, Dorothy, and Cheryl. God has called you by the voice of this church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who we are and what we believe, and you understand the work for which you have been called. Please show your desire to be ordained and installed by answering the following questions. And in solidarity with one another, we'll let you all reaffirm the question. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you?
I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of the Church as authentic and reliable expressions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
I do.
Will you fulfill the duties of your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and to be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you?
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
I do.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
And this question is addressed to our elders. Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
This is just for the deacons. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and to those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
This is to the congregation. Do we, the members of this congregation, accept Judy, Keith, and Zach as elders, and Eddie, Katie, David, Dorothea, and Cheryl as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Okay. Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church?
We do.
I'd like to ask everyone in the congregation who has been previously ordained as an elder or a deacon or a minister of the Word and Sacrament in the Presbyterian Church of USA or in other parts of the world to come forward as we lay hands on to ordain our new deacon.
Or kneel if you are able.
shoulder of someone else.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen people to lead your people. God of grace, who called us to a common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, entrusting us with the message of reconciliation, give us courage and discipline to follow where your servants rightly lead us, so that together we may declare your wonderful deeds and show your love to the world. We thank you for these people whom you have called to serve you. Fill them with the right measure of your Holy Spirit, that they might serve you with energy and love. Bring forth your gifts and lead them to the same mind that was in Christ, Jesus our Lord, so that they may be faithful disciples as long as they shall remain. Through them, bless the ministry and mission of this congregation and the church in the world, through Jesus Christ our Savior, to whom we give all glory and honor. Amen.
Amen.
We may greet one another. If you don't get a chance to greet them now, you can greet them during the coffee hour. Don't sit down yet, newly installed and ordained. You are now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Serve in peace, and may the love of Jesus Christ go with you, now and always.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The chance of times rings out the news, another day is true. Someone's lantern fell, was that someone you? You may have longed for all that strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, he will do it for you. With his arms wide open, he pardons you. Oh, it is no secret what God can do. There is no dark, for in his light you never walk alone. You always feel at home wherever you may go. There is no power and conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't run away, don't hide. Oh, it is no fear. can do. What is done for others, He will do it for you. With His arms wide open, He pardoned you. Oh yes, it is no secret what God can do. Amen.
Gift of God for the people.